So we have four fill-in-the-blanks in the bulletin. We're going to quickly go through those. Number one, this is what we need to learn from the Word of God. We know this. Human life begins at conception. Any human being, anybody in here, we know the basics of biology, and we should be able to realize that a human life, begins at conception. One fertilized egg turns into two turns into four, and we know that whole reproduction cycle. It is the beginning of a life. And inside a woman, that life is a life of a human being. Psalm 51:5 tells us this. It says this, "Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me." So what is the psalmist alluding to here about being sinful from the time my mother conceived me? Well, it isn't that his mother was adulterous, because that is not the case. And it isn't that he was born illegitimate, because that is not true either. What the psalmist is trying to say is this, is that sin was within me from my mother from the time that what happened? From the time that he was conceived. We are all conceived with the human condition, that wretchedness that we were talking about earlier. So we need to understand this. Life begins at conception. No matter what the legislators in Washington, D.C. are trying to tell anybody, life begins at conception, because that's what the Word of God says. So we believe the Word of God over any of our political legislators. Number two, the next one. Conception is an act of God. We know the biology of conception, right? I don't have to get into that right now. You've got a man and a woman. You know the rest of that. I'm not going to explain that to you. We must also know that God is sovereign. And he has, and he does, and he will always be in control of who gets to be born and to whom that person gets to be born to. Do you ever wonder why you have the parents that you have? Do you ever wonder why you were born in Nelson County or Augusta County or Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, wherever it may have been? Do you ever wonder why you were born, where you were born, to whom you were born, when you were born? That's because God is in control of all conception. Psalm 127 verse 3 says this, "Behold, children are a gift from the Lord." Now, I know what you're going to say. Not all the time, but they are. Okay, there are times when children just might not be on their best behavior, but the Word of God says this, they are a gift from the Lord. God is the giver of life, and life is from conception. There's no doubt about that. So what does that make us? What does that make us as human beings when we choose, when that choice is made to take life away from within the womb of a mother? Are we playing God? Are we playing God? Do we have that right to play God, something that he sovereignly chose? Let me answer that for you. No, we don't. We don't have that right. We do not have the right to play God. And that's what a lot of people take into their own hands. The next fill in the blank. I said I'd get through these quick. God hates the shedding of innocent blood. Proverbs 6, verses 16 and 17 say this. There are six things which the Lord hates. Yes, seven which are an abomination to him. Now, six of these seven aren't going to apply for this situation. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to evil, and a false witness who utters lies, and one who spreads strife among the believers. But I think you heard it there. One who sheds innocent blood, it says that God hates those who shed innocent blood. As Christians, we must agree that a new life is growing inside a woman, and that new life is totally innocent. That life has no voice. That life has no choice. That life matters to God, the one who put it there. God is not pleased with those who shed innocent blood. And the blood of an innocent life will cry out to the Lord. And I assure you, my friends, you heard me say it here before, there is no more innocent place. The safest place in the world should be within the womb of a mother. But yet, people decide to take that life. So what does God do? Let's get some more biblical references here. What does God do with those who shed innocent blood? So let's take this to the next level. Psalm 106, verses 33 through 42. Let me read that for you right now. Psalm 106, 34 through 42 says this. They did not destroy the peoples as the Lord had commanded them, but they mingled with the nations and adopted their customs. So what did they do? They worshiped their idols, which became a snare to them. They sacrificed their sons and their daughters to false gods. They shed innocent blood and the blood of their sons and daughters whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan, and the land was desecrated by their blood. They defiled themselves in what they did. By their deeds, they prostituted themselves. Here we go. What's the consequences? Therefore, the Lord was angry with his people and abhorred his inheritance. He gave them into the hands of the nations, and their foes ruled over them. Their enemies oppressed them and subjected them to their power. I know I told you I quit watching Fox News many months ago, but that doesn't mean I still don't know what's going on the face of this earth. Folks, this country is in bad shape. And you want to know why I think, this is just my opinion, why I think it's in bad shape? Because we shed innocent blood. This country, if we don't turn things around, this country is going to be turned over at some point in time. It's just a matter of when. We are going to self-destruct by doing these things that the Bible says we should not be doing. One more thing I would like to say. Every one of us in here, certainly myself included, we can all look into our past and we can remember things that we have done, things that we have said that were not right, and we wish we had a Mr. Clean, a magic eraser, and could just erase that, and it was never part of our past. But there are things that we're ashamed of, that we have done. We have offended other people, and we have offended the laws of God and violated them. But, the great transition word, but, praise God that in his infinite wisdom, he knew these things would happen, and he chose to send a Savior. And that Savior would forgive us of all those wrong things that we said, all those wrong things that we have done, all those wrong things that we're going to say and do tomorrow and the next day and the next day. A Redeemer who would pay the price for all of our iniquities. A shepherd who would lead us into greener pastures. An intercessor who is at the right hand of God right now, never bringing any condemnation upon those that he calls his own. Let me introduce him to you here this morning. His name is Jesus Christ, and he will forgive you and forgive me of anything and everything that we've ever done and said. Isn't that a load off of your mind? Oh my goodness. There is no sin too great that Jesus Christ cannot forgive. Not abortion, not adultery, not homosexuality, not lying, not cheating, not stealing, not cussing, or even gossip. And yes, gossip is a sin that our Savior cannot forgive, which leads us to our fourth fill in the blank. Praise the Lord. Through Jesus Christ, abortion is a forgivable sin. At the last church that I was at, you will not believe, we had a lot of people at that church. There were some ladies at that church who had had abortions, and they thought that abortion was indeed the unforgivable sin. Well, I'm here to tell you, there is no sin that is unforgivable, except blaspheming the Holy Spirit, which is another sermon for another day. But if you're a Christian, there's no sin that he won't forgive. None whatsoever. Not a license to go on out and commit sin. Of course not. We can't do that. Acts chapter 10, verse 43. Peter is on his way to visit some guy named Cornelius. Never met him before. Cornelius is a Gentile. Peter's a Jew. And Peter says this, everyone, he's talking about Jesus, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Psalm 32, verses 1 through 2 says this, blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins have been covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not hold against him, and who in whose spirit there is no deceit. Praise the Lord. We may have the human condition, and we may have done dumb and stupid things in our lives, but praise the Lord, we have Jesus Christ who is willing and ready to forgive any of us of any of those things that we have ever done. He wants to wash away that stain of sin from our life, whatever that stain may be. And we could go around this room and we could all say, this is the worst thing that I've ever done. But all you need to do, here you go, the little formula for getting to know Jesus Christ is repent, which means turn away, have a different view of the things that you're doing, believe in his name, and make him the Lord of your life. Make him your master. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 says this, anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Saved from what? Maybe you're new to this church thing. Maybe you're new to this Jesus thing. Saved from what? You use that word, Mike. Saved from what? Saved from ourselves. Saved from our sins. Once we call upon the name of Jesus Christ, we are justified. A relationship that was once broken between us and the Father has been restored through the cross of Jesus Christ. And we are made right with the Father through his death on the cross and through his resurrection from the grave. Ephesians, one more scripture. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. It was so good, I wrote it on the front of your bulletin. And I'm going to read it for you right now. And if you want to kind of read along with me, it says this. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh. Amen. Yeah, that was me. Indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Yeah, that was me. And were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But, oh, I love that transition word. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive with Christ. By grace, you have been saved and raised up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. My friends, the news doesn't get any better than that. So no matter what you've done, if you've had an abortion or a divorce or whatever it might have been, and you say, oh my goodness, God would never forgive me of that. He's in the business of forgiveness. That's what he does. That's what he does. And that's what he wants to do. No matter what stain you may have upon your life, he's willing and ready to forgive you and forget it. As far as the east is from the west. And that news doesn't get any better. So, even though we talk about some bad things, in the end there is good news. One, there's a great organization that's doing wonderful things for people who have made some poor choices in their lives. I've made poor choices in my life. I didn't need this organization, but boy, I needed something. I needed Jesus. We all need Jesus. So to sum it up, life begins at conception, according to God's word. Conception is an act of God, according to God's word. And God hates the shedding of innocent blood, according to the word of God. But through Jesus Christ, abortion and any other sin is a forgivable sin. And that is the pattern of human life. We are all, every one of us in here, are fearfully and wonderfully made by the hands of God himself. And we as Christians must believe in the sanctity of every human life. Why? Because God does. And that is our goal. To be like the one who saved us. To be like Jesus. As Lola said earlier, Jesus would never approve of an abortion. God doesn't approve of it. Neither should we. Let's pray.